Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Succeed, try again. SpaceX is light years ahead of any space exploration in the history of it in the last 70 years. And is the Maverick's Maverick, and I am extremely thankful to Elon Musk for what he's done to help save or give us a real shot at saving the American Republic. Now, there's obviously a lot of media people and influencers on the so-called right, on the so-called left. They're going to take the things I say here out of context today and misrepresent small snippets of what I say. Complex issues like this take a lot of understanding, a lot of research, a lot of connections, a lot of background to be able to accurately lay out what's really happening. And I had warned of the attacks on Elon by the deep state that if he wasn't properly defended, if he began to fall like dominoes, it would fall on all the other key Trump generals, literal and figurative, and that's the globalist strategy. As soon as the news broke at about 1:30 p.m. Central yesterday that Elon had taken his fight with Trump to the thermonuclear level in the info war, and that he was saying the really big bomb is that Trump's in the Epstein files, and that's why they're suppressing him, everyone began to ask me, are you on Elon or Trump's side? And I said, I'm on neither side. I'm on Team Humanity, which equals Team Truth. And I said, I predicted this would probably happen a lot here on the air the last 6 months if we didn't defend Elon properly. And then people say, well, screw him. Let's just be tribal. Then they can go after the next big person and the next and the next and then cause a rout. This is how history and politics and information war operates. And so I then talked about the facts I knew. And it's that I've deeply investigated Trump and any connections to Epstein's criminal activity and found zero. And instead, I found Trump being the first prominent person to begin to speak out against Epstein and to kick him out of Mar-a-Lago as a club member, when it was brought to his attention that Epstein was trying to recruit 14, 15-year-old girls. Roger Stone wrote a book about this in 2016, The Clintons' War on Women, and all about the Epstein CIA honeypot operation. And so when I saw Elon say that, immediately, I could talk 10 hours on this one subject, but to give you the synopsis, if the Democrats had any real proof of Trump involved with underage girls with Epstein, you'd have heard about it 9 years ago. You would have heard about it 4 years ago. You'd have heard about it last year. The few Jane Does that came out turned out to be fake names, fake people, actresses. It wasn't true. And the other woman saying he grabbed her by the vagina in a mall, that she was wearing a certain fancy outfit that wasn't even produced for 2 years later. Her attack, E. Jean Carroll, was the plot of a Law and Order episode, word for word. I've experienced when Democrats make up fake stories about me, they'll usually just lift it from some TV or movie program. They're so lazy. But so I've seen hundreds of fake sex attacks on Trump. So I said very early on, I said, Elon does not look physically good. I've been noticing that the last month. He looks very distressed. I don't mean he looks sick. He looks just very unhappy and very distressed. And I know he's getting attacked from all sides. And for everything you hear about, there's a lot more you don't know about. That's the nature of this. I've experienced it myself, though not at Trump or his level, but pretty much third or fourth in line for the attacks. Because the more you're effective fighting evil, the more they come after you. So I said, looks like maybe kind of a nervous breakdown. And, you know, really hammering Trump. And then Trump came out and said some things that are very concerning. But there's no clear answer at this point to all of this. The larger issue is that this type of civil war in MAGA and DOGE is the type of opportunity where the globalists, the Democrats, and the deep state, who are being routed on every level, could grab partial victory from the jaws of their defeat. So when Elon says he's turned against Trump over the big, beautiful bill that's got some really good things in it and some really bad things in it, from my own perspective, and Roger Stone is joining us here in about 20 minutes with exclusive information, that's really just the straw that broke the camel's back. No, it's a whole string of things where Elon did not get defended in any meaningful way other than some rhetoric by the White House. And the Republicans moved in the last 3-4 months to encircle him and to actively sabotage his companies that already had all the dominant bids at SpaceX and Starlink, on and on and on, because they were the best bids and on average half the price of anybody else. There's not even competition. He's been so efficient and so innovative. So he went along with the EV mandate being taken, and then his NASA guy got taken away, and then he's going to win any contracts at NASA because he's got the best delivery and price. So they're like, yeah, we're just going to slash the NASA budget. Well, if he'd have backed Kamala Harris, they'd have probably doubled it. So instead of him just being left alone, not being given any favoritism, but just being allowed to operate, oh no, we can't ever let Elon do anything because that would be seen as favoritism when it's not. And so from my sources, and that's what I already thought, that's why he is so angry. And you also have Trump saying, oh, I asked him to leave. He'd really worn thin. Okay, well, is that the truth? Or was Trump, all the hundreds of times, even last week, was saying bye to Elon? Oh, I asked him not to leave. He's really great. I mean, how many times have you heard that? I don't want Elon to leave. Elon said 2 weeks ago, I'm going to stop funding politics pretty much for, you know, for now. I've done what I needed to do, and I'm going to be leaving Doge. But, the changes we put in, will still be there. We're going to really fight to get these cuts that we've identified made with all this fraud. And it is true that it should be done in the rescission bills that are coming into Congress next week. So at the end of the day, letting the Republican insiders in the party who are always struggling over control and access isolate and cut off Elon, you now see isolating Doge, and now the first rescission bill, $9 billion out of over a trillion that was found. So 100, and how many days are we in now? Almost 140? Let's put it on screen, please. You could say that the massive momentum that we've seen, we're in the 137th day starting, is now slowing very quickly. And so that's not good news. But I would just be a cheerleader and a liar if I didn't say that. And I've been saying that for the last month. But this is really really a sign of it slowing down and bogging down even quicker. And the swamp of the rhinos and neocons that are still a large portion of the so-called Republicans clawing back into more and more control. Now, a silver lining to this is that this dangerous and destructive fight that should have been avoided, that I predicted. People ask, why are you cheerleading for Elon? Why are you defending Elon? Well, since he was president-elect and since he got in January, 6 months ago, I have said hundreds and hundreds of times, pretty much every show, every broadcast, that Elon is bringing real reform. And Elon is the most aggressive person we have for the things we really want, the things that I've promoted, other than Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And that's why I cheerlead him, because they're star players for us. And anybody could know how the globalist strategies work, that they were going after him, targeting him for destruction, so they could cut him out, then they'll be able to move on again to the next and cause a stampede. But the silver lining is this. The whole globalist system is ruled by corporate governmental committees that come up with policy ideas and put their puppets in. As Klaus Schwab said, we penetrate cabinets. With Trump, you really got somebody who is calling the shots. Doesn't mean the bureaucracy follows it all, but he really is the president. This is not ruled by committee. And with mavericks in there like Musk, he's his own man, and nobody, just like Trump, is telling him what to do. And so the fact that the two will attack each other, and the fact that Musk won't compromise and is known for being a very aggressive fighter in business and politics, and Trump is probably even more so, I mean, these are the two most prolific, aggressive mavericks other than Vladimir Putin in the world. You see what you want about Putin? I mean, he's something else when it comes to staying power, strategy, long-term vision, will. You look at the whole spectrum of leaders in the world. I mean, it's Trump, it's Elon Musk, it's Vladimir Putin. And this just illustrates how real this revolution is.
That was Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show, June 5, broadcast on his embattled website, Infowars.com and X.com. Jones was providing his views and opinions on what's actually happening with the feud of late between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Before we get into our video presentation today, I want to make a few comments about this. I agree with most of what Jones says here, and like him, I'm worried about this disagreement over Trump's big, beautiful budget bill now being considered in the U.S. Senate, and what it could mean for the country if things get out of hand. The political left is clearly seeking to exploit this rift for all they can milk it for, hoping to drive a permanent wedge between these two men and do as much damage to the Trump administration and our country as they can. It's my hope Trump and Musk can resolve their differences, or at least agree to disagree on the budget bill and anything else that's come between them, as soon as possible. Though I am and remain a longtime Trump and MAGA supporter, I do believe Elon Musk has a right to criticize the budget bill as being loaded with pork and a threat to our long-term economic health, with the trillions more added to the national deficit the bill reportedly in its current form represents. There are also concerns, as I understand it, about insufficient protections for the citizenry from unrestrained growth of artificial intelligence and other things. It's a huge, complex piece of legislation, which I have to admit I am largely ignorant of at this time. As Musk stated, the bill passed the House of Representatives in the night, in the middle of the night, I think he said, and probably most Congress members are not aware or not fully aware of all that it contains, which is not unusual. Trump doesn't seem concerned about the concerns being raised by the bill's critics. It's my opinion he isn't worried about raising the national debt by more trillions of dollars, as he believes the new increased tariffs, along with other tax revenue from a roaring economy, will largely take care of that in the years to come. Whatever the key issues here, the strategic partnership between Trump and Musk is too important for the future of our nation to just let fester and die. In my opinion, Trump needs to step up, acknowledge Musk's concerns, and address them with Trump's own views. I, like many others, am hoping we will see a continued partnership and friendship between the president and Elon Musk for many years to come, if for nothing else than the salvation and preservation of our beloved America. Hello, and welcome to another broadcast of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. Several current events are looming large on our radar for the show, so to speak, and these have the potential to seriously affect geopolitics as well as domestic affairs here in the USA. The first of our video clips today, the first two of them, are commentary on the Russia-Ukraine war and its potential to lead to World War III, with some observers saying we're already in that conflict, which has the potential to go nuclear. These are from the Alex Jones Show on Infowars.com, June 3, in which Jones details his concerns about and opposition to Ukraine's recent strikes on Russia's strategic nuclear bomber fleet thousands of miles inside Russia, as well as on the bridge into the Crimea, I believe, which is a critical supply route for Russian forces in the war. The second clip is from Dr. Steve Turley's YouTube channel, June 2, in which Turley is highly critical of U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham's trip to Ukraine and Graham's apparent rogue endorsement of that nation's strikes on Russia, which appears to be undermining the Trump administration's efforts to negotiate a ceasefire and end to the war before it spreads to a wider conflict. If you'll recall, while running for office last year, Trump had confidently declared he could end the Ukraine-Russia conflict in one day if he were president. The course of the war has clearly proven Trump wrong in this regard. Our third clip today is another of Dr. Turley's broadcasts on YouTube, this one from last month, in which Turley gives his take on the Trump administration's efforts to combat wokeism, that is, the cultural Marxist rot that has infiltrated and infected our nation's college and university campuses, especially our supposedly elite ones, such as Harvard and Columbia universities. The fourth and last clip is from the YouTube channel Explain America, earlier this month, and discusses the U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling that allowing the president to proceed with his removal of deep state left-wing government bureaucrats obstructing and otherwise opposing the Trump administration's policies. This is another big win for Donald Trump and his team and further strengthens their campaign to realign the direction of our government with the mandate given Trump in the 2024 election. Here are the videos.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and support the InfoWars.
Oh, tomorrow's news today.
Is now again confirmed that Trump was not aware of the escalating drone and missile attacks directed by NATO into Russia in the last 5 weeks. He was not also aware that there was an attempted assassination of Vladimir Putin a week and a half ago using drones. And now we have this new Pearl Harbor attack, Russian Pearl Harbor, on their strategic nuclear bombers 4,000 miles away from its border with Ukraine. And you have a lot of ignorant people that don't understand that those particular bombers under international treaties have to be visible from the air and space and get inspected every few months. And that violates those treaties and is a direct attack on their nuclear forces, which signals the West wants a nuclear war. And that's what you do when you do that, as General Flynn, the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, explained. I've seen a lot of people on X with millions and millions and millions of views and comments. A whole bunch of them. I'm not even looking for these videos. Like, oh, there's one with 2 million. There's one with 3 million. There's one with 1 million. There's one with 5 million. Alex Jones loves Russia, and he's almost brought to tears. One of the comments that got millions of views, by the escalation of the war. He hates the Ukrainian people and wants them to die. Total crap. I just know too much about war and where this is escalating to. Ukraine strikes Kerch Bridge in Crimea with underwater explosives, thousands of pounds with underwater drone. A whole bunch of them have been attacking. They've been blowing up the nets and defense boats they put out around there. This one got through. And this is all trying to stop a peace, which is what NATO always wanted to do, was have a war with Russia. They admitted it. They've been starting it for 15 years. They've been expanding around Russia. That's not even debated. The EU says they're going to bankrupt Russia with a 20-30-year war and break it up in five parts. But none of that is on corporate news in the United States. I read it all day long. I watch it. Just the West not poking the bear, but beating it in the head with a baseball bat. And we are just careening towards a new world war. I mean, we're already in it, as General Kellogg, the head U.S. envoy to Ukraine, said over the weekend. This is a world war now with all the players and the pieces. The only question is, will it continue to escalate, which the psychotics still running NATO want. And Trump, months ago, talked about pulling out. Elon Musk did. Others. It needs to be done now. We fund 85% of the damn thing. Or we fund 75% of NATO and then 85% of the Ukraine war. And then more funding was discovered. It's over 80% to NATO. And so I was against the Iraq war in 93. I was against being in Afghanistan because that's The U.S. government protected the actual Taliban and al-Qaeda and flew them out to Pakistan before that strikes even began. And I just know the facts. Of course, it's come out with the USAID money and the rest of it, that the CIA runs al-Qaeda and ISIS. And remember, Trump, when he first got in 8 years ago, ordered them to get U.S. troops out of Syria backing ISIS. And the Pentagon just ignored him for 2 years until he discovered it, and finally they followed his orders. So people say, oh, Trump knows everything that's going on in intel. No, he doesn't. And the government's still full of globalist operatives. So it's up to us to inform him, which we're doing via our connections and sources with Trump and via through the ether and the grapevine of this giant megaphone.
Including nuclear-capable long-range aircraft in one of the most daring attacks of the war, dubbed Operation Spiderweb, and in the works for more than a year and a half. Dozens of drones rigged with explosives were hidden in the roofs of these empty containers, placed on trucks and smuggled to the perimeter of Russian air bases. Remotely opened and launched, Russia confirmed military airfield across five regions were attacked. No casualties were reported. But also earlier today, in regions bordering Ukraine, two Russian bridges collapsed, derailing trains, killing at least seven. The cause unclear.
It's being called Russia's Pearl Harbor. On June 1st, 2025, Ukrainian forces launched a large-scale and coordinated drone strike targeting multiple Russian air bases deep within Russian territory, 2,500 miles from the front line. So as you saw there, the operation, reportedly overseen by President Zelensky and planned over a year and a half, involved smuggling 117 drones inside Russia, concealed in trucks. And these drones were then launched from the trucks parked near the targeted airfields. According to Ukraine's security service, the strikes destroyed or damaged at least 41 Russian military aircraft, including strategic bombers and an A-50 early warning plane, which are crucial to Russia's long-range missile assault capabilities. Ukrainian officials estimate the financial damage to Russia to be around $7 billion, and they claim that 34% of Russia's strategic cruise missile carrier fleet was destroyed. Now, ironically, this attack occurred literally just hours before the latest round of peace talks were scheduled to resume, as those drones were obliterating Russian military aircraft. Delegations from both countries were arriving in Istanbul, Turkey, for a second round of direct negotiations aimed at ending this war. So why on earth, in the midst of these negotiations, would we be seeing the single most significant escalation in this conflict from Ukraine? Well, many are pointing the finger at this man, Senator Lindsey Graham. Literally just hours before the attack, Senator Graham visited Ukraine alongside Senator Richard Blumenthal to meet with President Zelensky. And the stated purpose of their visit was to advocate for new sweeping U.S. sanctions against Russia in response to its ongoing war in Ukraine. The senators toured neighborhoods in Kiev that had been recently devastated by Russian attacks, which they described as among the most severe since the full-scale invasion began. Now, of course, such advocacy hardly requires a personal visit to Ukraine on Graham's part. He's consistently been a relentless war hawk against Russia for years now. For example, here's Graham with the late John McCain back in 2016.
We're going to go back and tell our colleagues what Russia's up to in the Baltics, what they're doing in the Ukraine. We're going to get briefed about Georgia. We hope to make 2017 a year of offense. We believe that Putin has hacked into our elections in America, that he's trying to undermine democracy all over the world. And it's time for new sanctions to hit him hard as an individual, his energy sector, his banking sector. It is time to push back against Putin, but be a better friend to our allies over here, including Georgia.
And of course, who could ever forget this?
Free or die.
Free or die.
Now you are free.
Yes.
And we will be.
And the Russians are dying.
It's the best money we've ever spent.
Thank you so much.
Now, in fairness to Lindsey Graham, this operation obviously took a lot of planning. So this has been in the works now on the part of the Ukrainians for the last several months. But it defies credulity to think that Graham didn't have at least some part to play in this massive escalation, given his highly public adversarial stance against Russia, which, of course, then begs the question, why now? Why in the midst of these Istanbul negotiations would Graham be advocating a military escalation? That's exactly what we're going to find out. But first, gang, do you constantly feel exhausted, weighed down, and struggle to get through the day? The culprit may be right under your nose, a sluggish overworked liver. Now, the reality is your liver is under constant attack from processed foods, environmental toxins, GMOs, microplastics, fluoride, and so many other things that we still don't even know about. Over time, it takes a serious toll. In fact, a staggering 100 million Americans now suffer from an overworked and sluggish liver, according to the American Liver Foundation. That's nearly one in every three people. Now, if you're tired of feeling sluggish and ready to reclaim your vitality, I highly recommend giving your liver the support it desperately needs with Liver Health Formula from our sponsor, Pure Health Research. This cutting-edge supplement combines 11 powerful, clinically proven ingredients to detoxify and rejuvenate your liver at the cellular level. Liver Health Formula's natural ingredients and nutrients are designed to revitalize your liver, helping raise energy, optimize metabolism, and manage weight. This company has already helped more than 2 million Americans. It's time you join their ranks and get back to feeling your best. As a special offer for my listeners, you can try Liver Health Formula and get a free 1 month supply of blood sugar formula to help you control those sugar cravings. This is an exclusive offer just for you, my audience. So to claim your free gift, just visit getliverhelp.com/Turley. That's getliverhelp.com/Turley. Take the first step toward better liver health and more vibrant living today. As delegations arrive in Istanbul for their second round of peace talks, what has thus far been clear is that the Ukrainian delegation appears to be uninterested in good faith negotiations. And that's because they're insisting on no restrictions whatsoever in their military capabilities, which of course means the continued funding and arming from NATO. And the delegation rejects any recognition of Russian claims over the occupied territories, about 20% of Ukraine. So this would, of course, would be the Donbass region, Donetsk, Lugansk, Zaporozhye, Kherson, and of course, Crimea, which Russia annexed back in 2014. Russia, for its part, has made it absolutely clear that those territories are permanently gone from Ukraine. That's a non-negotiable. It's not even within the realm of consideration, as well as any and all future militarization and NATO involvement in Ukraine. As far as Russia is concerned, that is why they launched the special military operation back in February of 2022 in the first place. The fundamental problem for Ukraine, as President Trump made it absolutely clear to Zelensky in the Oval Office, is they got no cards. They have no negotiation leverage whatsoever over Russia. Russian forces have amassed the most fortified front lines protecting their territorial gains. They're not going anywhere. And NATO can keep arming Ukraine until it's blue in the face. Eventually, they're going to run out of men. This is the whole point of Russia's war of attrition. They make their territorial gains, they fortify the front, and then they turn it basically into a meat grinder for Ukrainian forces in their futile attempts at pushing Russian forces back. That's, in effect, what has been happening over the last year and a half. The Russian front lines have become one big, massive killing machine that patiently waits for Ukraine to deplete enough of its forces before it cries uncle. That is the reality of the battlefield, for right or for wrong. I'm being purely descriptive, not prescriptive here. And to make matters even worse, the entire international infrastructure that has thus far supported Ukraine is collapsing. So, of course, President Trump halted U.S. military aid to Ukraine after that contentious meeting between Trump and Zelensky in the Oval Office, which has been at least in part restored in order to try to force Russia to the negotiation table. But Trump has made absolutely clear he's got no interest in the liberal international order at all. He has no interest in a confrontational and aggressive posture towards Russia. He's called NATO obsolete. He's fast dismantling the structures and institutions that comprise the liberal international order that's been weaponized against Russia, particularly in terms of economic sanctions. So the whole structure, the whole edifice of the international opposition to Russia is quickly being dismantled in the face of Ukraine holding no cards. So then, what are these neocon warmongers like Lindsey Graham to do? Well, unfortunately, I think the answer is rather simple. They need to change the game. They need to give Ukraine some cards, and they need to reawaken the international complex that has thus far resisted and sanctioned Russia. And so in the end, what's the only way they're going to be able to do that? It's by provoking Russia intentionally to attack NATO. As I see it, that's the only option they have. What we just saw over the weekend with Ukraine's escalation was a deliberate attempt to try to get Russia to attack NATO forces. We're obviously in a proxy war as we speak. These are NATO weapons and NATO technologies and NATO intelligence that are being used to attack Russia. Russia's Pearl Harbor was, in effect, a proxy NATO attack. And that was deliberate so as to entice and lure Russia into a trap to strike NATO targets and thus trigger Article 5, which would unleash a full-blown war between Russia and NATO member nations. So Keir Starmer is already saying that British forces are on their highest alert ever, ready for whatever Russia is preparing with their retaliation. It's so ironic how Keir Starmer refuses to protect Britain's own borders from mass invasion, but has no problem amassing his soldiers to protect Ukraine. But that's why I was very glad to see that Secretary of State Marco Rubio assured Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov that the Trump White House did not have anything to do with this. They had no involvement whatsoever in this Ukrainian drone operation. It happened without their knowledge, without their consent. And at the very least, that was a clear sign that the Trump administration was diplomatically distancing itself from this escalation.
It is illegal. It is unwise. And it is very damaging. Why does it make any sense at all to stop 6,000 enormously talented young people who want to come to the United States to study? If the Trump administration has an objection to something Harvard is doing with respect to foreign students, let it pursue the specifics of that objection through the processes of law. But simply throwing 6,000 students out and denying the many thousands of students abroad who have dreamed of coming to study at Harvard that opportunity because they're angry about a fight on other issues, that is not the way we do things in a democratic country like the United States.
Oh, hey, oh, are we out of power? Oh, should I call you Wamblians?
That's the former president of Harvard whining about the Trump administration cracking down on the woke Ivy Leagues and, in this case, banning foreign students from Harvard. The Department of Homeland Security, led by Secretary Kristi Noem, has just announced that they have terminated Harvard University's ability to enroll international students entirely by revoking their student and exchange visitor program certification. Talk about playing hardball here. Now, this decision follows accusations that Harvard failed to comply with federal requests for information on their international students, as well as fostering what the Trump administration is calling an unsafe campus environment marked by violence, anti-Semitism, and alleged collaboration with the Chinese Communist Party. This is amazing stuff here. Basically, the background to all of this is that the DHS demanded Harvard provide detailed behavioral and disciplinary records of foreign students, right? Students from abroad studying at Harvard. The DHS wanted footage of protest activity. They wanted records of any illegal, dangerous, or violent actions by student visa holders over the past 5 years. And we all know why, right? Because they're going to obviously yank them, right? This is all part of both Homeland Security and Marco Rubio's State Department's efforts at rooting out foreign students who have come to our country specifically to whip up cultural Marxist unrest, that freak that you just saw there lecturing us about democracy has been a co-participant in, particularly through leading and participating in campus protests. He has allowed that. He has sat back and allowed cultural Marxism to infest his campus. Harvard's administration has, of course, been repeatedly resistant in providing those details. That is what Homeland Security has told us. They are, in effect, shielding their foreign students from any federal scrutiny by the Trump government. And I guess it would be something akin to creating a sanctuary campus, as it were. And so the Trump administration just turned around and said, okay, you don't want to comply? No problem. No problem at all. And then they just pulled the rug out from under them and said, we're yanking your certification for accepting foreign students entirely. So either all foreign students transfer to another university as of like immediately for the 25-26 semester, or you'll have to leave the country. They'll have to leave the country. It's that simple. You don't want to comply with us? No problem whatsoever. Then we will shut down your entire foreign student operation. It's called political hardball, gang. That's brass knuckles politics at its finest. And it, as you can see, it caught Harvard completely off guard. But first, I did want to share with you one of my favorite news resources that I use every day, and that's Ground News. Now, these days, it's harder than ever to tell the difference between facts and opinions. Algorithms push us into echo chambers, and both sides of the political spectrum have their blind spots. Now, a lot of the time, we're only getting part of the story, or we're missing it entirely. So that's why I use Ground News. Ground News pulls together stories from over 50,000 news sources around the world. You heard that right, 50,000. But what makes it stand out is this. It doesn't just give you the headlines. It shows you the political bias behind each story. So you're not just reading the news, you're actually understanding it. So that's why more than 1 million people have downloaded the Ground News app. See for yourself at ground.news/Steve. One of my favorite features is the blind spot feed. It shows you stories that are getting a lot of coverage from one side of the political spectrum, but barely any from the other. It's a great way to spot the narratives that usually slip through the cracks. So, for example, here's a story ignored on the left. Trump just signed an executive order to boost domestic drug manufacturing, a major move to strengthen the U.S. supply chain. With talk of pharmaceutical tariffs ramping up, it's a huge economic and political story, yet most left-leaning media has barely touched it. Or here's one the right was mostly ignoring. Trump recently questioned whether the constitutional right to due process applies in certain immigration cases. It's not a small question. It goes right to the heart of our legal system. But if you're only watching right-leaning outlets, you might have never heard about it. With every story, Ground News shows you exactly who's covering it, where the outlets fall politically, how reliably the reporting has been, and even who owns them. It's transparency you're not going to get anywhere else. Right now, you can get 40% off the Vantage plan. It's the premium version I use myself. Just head to ground.news/Steve, click the link in the description, or scan the QR code. That's ground.news/Steve. And now, of course, Harvard is suing. They're doing everything they can to prevent the administration from revoking their certification for foreign students. But many analysts are arguing the damage is already done. They don't even need to. They don't need to revoke Harvard's foreign student certification for the damage to be done. Again, this is what so many on the left don't get. With the whole proverbial maxim, right? F around and find out. When you've been locked out of political power, like the Democrats have been, and if the administration decides, and the current administration decides to use power the way the Trump administration is using it, they can crush you. There is no reason to pick a fight with this administration precisely because they can crush you. And as Kristi Noem's letter to Harvard just pointed out they will crush you. And how will they crush you? They'll crush you with a simple order just like this, like they're getting from Homeland Security right now. And how do they crush them? Even if Harvard were eventually, over the next couple of years, successful in court to revoke this revocation of their certification to receive foreign students, even if they were successful in the next couple of years, in the meantime, do you think any foreign students are going to enroll in Harvard? Do you think any foreign students who are already there are going to wait around to find out? So foreign students are already transferring. You see, it's too late. All you needed to do was issue this form, this kind of injunction here, this revocation. That's all you needed. That's all you needed to do was to hear that the Trump administration was putting a bullseye on Harvard and basically getting a micro sense of every single foreign student, where they're from, their activity. That's all they needed word for. They're out of there. Foreign students are already transferring. They're already refraining from applying in the first place. The order itself was enough. This is F around and find out. Whether it's actually ultimately enforced is irrelevant. This is the power of the presidency in the hands of the one and only Donald J. Trump. And again, like I said at the very beginning, the political left is not used to this. I think this is one of the reasons why the left is reacting so hysterically, is because we've had an entire generation of leftists who have never been in the position of being the objects of a kind of, we would argue, very righteous political persecution. They've never been the objects of it. They've always been the persecutors. They've always been the ones in power. They're not used to being the objects of political pressure. They've always, at least since FDR, in one shape or form, they have always been in political power. I've always said Democrats own DC, the Republicans merely rent. The deep state is a Democrat apparatus, and it keeps the city operating through Democrat norms. But even in the wider nation since the 1960s, the Democrats have been in the position of cultural leadership. This is what cultural Marxism is all about. Assume the positions of power in all the various cultural levers of power, academia, economics, art, entertainment, and the like. And as long as you assume the positions of power in the nation's cultural institutions, you will be in power forever, period, end of discussion. Now they're finding out that there is a new breed of Republican, the MAGA Republican, who is prepared to use the power of the executive branch, which is massive, for the purpose of dismantling that cultural Marxist power apparatus. And that's exactly what Trump is doing to Harvard right now. Again, the proverbial maxim here that was made famous in the Oval Office, right, was Zelensky, and I would say most recently this week with Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa, is that you got no cards, Harvard. You got no cards. The Trump administration has all the political and economic leverage needed to crush you. And if Harvard's smart, they'll cooperate. If not, Trump is just going to continue to ratchet up the pressure to force Harvard and all other Ivy Leagues to heal. And this is so important in terms of destroying the epicenter of wokeness. Wokeness comes primarily through the universities. That's where wokeness first appeared. That's how it originally came to our country. It's a foreign invader. I don't know if you know that. But wokeness is a foreign invader. It came via the Frankfurt School, a group of cultural Marxist academics in Europe. And their immigration to the United States from Europe during World War II, they came to Columbia University. That's why we're always see whenever there's campus unrest, it always involves Columbia at its heart, because that's where the Frankfurt School originally came. And from there, they spread their poison, their cultural Marxist, cultural socialist ideas all throughout the university system that despises Western culture, that teaches students to hate and to revile Western culture, to reevaluate the whole of reality by virtue of a binary of oppressor versus oppressed, and that it is right and good to embrace a coalition of the aggrieved that would together destroy this evil Western civilization that was built on the backs of slaves. The universities are collectively the queen bee of that ideological filth. And Trump is crushing the queen bee's nest as we speak. And if he's successful in doing that, then perhaps finally we will be rid of one of the most wicked and anti-Western ideologies ever to infest our nation.
The Supreme Court has spoken. And with one ruling, they've handed President Donald J. Trump full constitutional control over the federal bureaucracy, crushing the last wall protecting the unelected elite from accountability. The administrative state is crumbling. The lawfare regime is on the ropes. And the president now commands the executive branch as the founders intended. But first, like, comment, and share Explain America, because this one is a real game changer. And here's how it happened. The U.S. Supreme Court sided with Donald Trump in a high-stakes emergency motion, allowing him to immediately remove Biden-appointed agency heads at the National Labor Relations Board and the Merit Systems Protection Board without cause and without delay. This isn't just about two bureaucracies. It's about tearing down the entire this illusion that we live in an American republic where we have an unaccountable and so-called independent federal bureaucracy. A shadow government that sabotaged America First policies for years while hiding behind legal technicalities and outdated precedents. For decades, entrenched officials have used for cause protections to shield themselves from the president's authority, using their posts to leak, slow walk, stonewall, and outright defy the will of the voters. Not anymore. The court's unsigned opinion makes it clear. These bureaucracies exercised executive power. And under the Constitution, executive power belongs to the President of the United States. Period. It doesn't belong to Justice Sotomayor. It doesn't belong to Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. It belongs to the President of the United States. And that is why we hold elections. Justice Yelena Kagan, of course, is livid. In a scathing dissent joined by Justices Jackson and Sotomayor, Kagan warned that this order, quote, allows the president to overrule precedent by fiat, unquote. Yes, Justice Kagan, that's called executive power, the kind Article 2 actually spells out. And it's why we hold elections. Now, let's be real. This isn't about agencies and bureaucracy. It's about who actually runs the country. Under Biden, federal boards became war rooms for globalist ideologues. Trump's orders were delayed, blocked, or flat out ignored in the first part of his term. Immigration enforcement was gutted. Energy policies were hijacked. Personnel decisions are second-guessed by so-called independent HR panels stacked with Democrats. With this decision, the nonsense stops.
No question that Donald Trump and his team, and all of us who support them, have our work cut out for us in this epic struggle to transform and realign our massive government bureaucracy. which includes rooting out and removing the bad actors of the entrenched deep state, globalist, and communist infiltration of recent decades, as well as attempting the same with other elements of our society. There are numerous fronts on which these tasks are being pursued, including election integrity efforts and combating the deep state's propaganda mouthpieces of our equally entrenched leftist corporate media. Why would our large corporations fund and operate these leftist-dominated media? The requirements of doing business in communist China, in my opinion. In other words, you want to do business with communist China? Then you support communism and its ally, the totalitarian world government worshiping globalism, political philosophy. If we fail in these efforts, the ideologues and activists of the Democratic Party, which the late David Horowitz, one of the great writers and thinkers of our time, declared is the Communist Party today. And these people fully expect to retake power and reverse the course of the Trump administration's work to restore common sense government, freedom, and prosperity. That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And elsewhere on the internet, including rumble.com and x.com. If you go to my pages at x.com, you will find me there at James B5030-91977. You can also listen to a podcast of my show on Apple Podcasts when it's posted shortly. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, scroll down on that first page and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another broadcast. Have a great rest of your day and evening.